In the Limelight.
Recently, Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro met with senior government officials in Caracas. During the meeting, the Venezuelan pharmaceutical body, CIFAR, and Venezuelan medical equipment companies said they would be able to increase production of machines and medicines to stem the coronavirus crisis. But they said they would need key raw materials that have to be imported into the country. It was in order to pay for these imports that the Venezuelan government went to the International Monetary Fund, the IMF. But the denial of the loan by the IMF will directly punish the Venezuelan people, health industry, and prevent the country from properly tackling the COVID-19 pandemic. We now present you an interesting article written jointly by Vijay Prashad and Paula Estrada. The piece is titled, IMF Refuses Aid to Venezuela in the Midst of COVID-19 Crisis. The article was taken from the AsiaTimes.com website. On Monday, 16th of March, the chief of the International Monetary Fund, Kristalina Georgieva, wrote a blog post on the IMF's website. It represents the kind of generosity necessary in the midst of a global pandemic. Georgieva wrote, "The International Monetary Fund stands ready to mobilize its $1 trillion lending capacity to help our membership. Countries with urgent balance of payments needs could be helped by the IMF's flexible and rapid disbursing emergency response toolkit. Through these mechanisms, the International Monetary Fund claimed it could provide $50 billion to developing countries and $10 billion to low-income countries at a zero interest rate. The day before Georgieva made this public announcement, the Venezuelan Foreign Ministry sent a letter to the International Monetary Fund asking for funds to finance the government's detection and response system to its efforts against the coronavirus, COVID-19. In the letter, Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro wrote that his government was taking different preventative measures and following through strict and exhaustive controls to protect the Venezuelan people against the coronavirus. These measures require some funding, which is why the Venezuelan government it's turning to your honourable organisation to request this evaluation about the possibility of authorising Venezuela a credit line of about $5 billion from the Rapid Financing Instrument Emergency Fund. Kristalina Georgieva's policy to provide special assistance to countries should have been sufficient for the International Monetary Fund to provide the assistance that Venezuela had requested. But very quickly, the IMF declined the request from Caracas. It is important to underline that the International Monetary Fund denied Venezuela any funding at a time when the coronavirus is spreading rapidly in Venezuela. On Sunday, 15th of March, the day the government sent a letter to the International Monetary Fund, President Nicolas Maduro met with senior government officials in Caracas. The Venezuelan pharmaceutical body, CIFAR, and the Venezuelan medical equipment manufacturers said they would be able to increase production of machines and medicine needed to fight the coronavirus spread, but they said they would need key raw materials to be imported into the country. It was in order to pay for these imports that the Venezuelan government turned to the International Monetary Fund. the denial of the loan by the IMF will directly punish the Venezuelan people and the Venezuelan healthcare system, particularly those who are ill in the country, and prevent the country from properly tackling the coronavirus pandemic. As President Maduro put in place new measures, he said, "This is the most serious situation we have ever faced." The Venezuelan government imposed an indefinite national quarantine and has put in place a process to distribute food and key supplies to the population. All the institutions of the state are now involved in doing their part in helping to flatten the curve and break the chain of contagion. But because of International Monetary Fund's denial of a loan, the country will have a harder time producing test kits, respirators, and key medicine to fight the coronavirus. It is important to realize that Venezuela is one of the founding members of the International Monetary Fund, IMF. Despite being an oil-rich country, Venezuela has come to the IMF several times for various forms of assistance and loans. The cycle of IMF interventions in the 1980s and early 1990s led to an uprising in 1989 that delegitimized the Venezuelan elite. It was on the back of the popular protests against the International Monetary Fund that Hugo Chavez built the coalition that propelled him to office in 1998 and which started the Bolivarian Revolution in the country in 1999. By 2007, Venezuela had paid off its outstanding debts to both the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank. It cut its ties to these institutions, hoping to build a Bank of the South rooted in Latin America as an alternative to the World Bank IMF system. But before this bank could be set up, a round of crises struck Latin America, forced by a fall in commodity prices. Venezuela's economy relied on oil exports to generate the revenue necessary to import goods. With the fall in global oil prices came a direct attack on Venezuela by a new round of unilateral and illegal sanctions from the United States. These sanctions prevented oil companies and transportation firms from doing business with Venezuela. International banks seized Venezuela's holdings, including $1.2 billion in gold in the Bank of England, and stopped doing business with the country. The illegal US sanctions tightened further after US President Donald Trump came to power, deeply hurt Venezuela's ability to sell its oil and buy various commodities, including supplies for its health sector. Then in January of 2019, the US government attempted a coup d'etat against the democratically elected government of Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro. It chose as its instrument Juan Guaido, whom the US named as the new self-declared president of the country. American banks hastily seized Venezuelan state assets held by them and turned them over to Juan Guaido. Then, in a startling move, the International Monetary Fund said the Venezuelan government would no longer be allowed to use its $400 million in special drawing rights, the currency of the IMF. It claimed it had taken this action because of political uncertainty in Venezuela. In other words, because of the attempted coup d'etat which failed, the International Monetary Fund said it would not take sides in Venezuela. By not taking sides, the IMF refused to allow the government in Caracas to access its own funds. Strikingly, an advisor to Juan Guaido, Ricardo Hausmann, a former International Monetary Fund Development Committee chairman and head of the Inter-American Development Bank, said at that time that he expected that when the regime change occurred, the money would be available to the new government in Caracas. This was the IMF directly interfering in Venezuelan politics. Neither at that time nor now has the International Monetary Fund actually denied that the government of President Nicolas Maduro is a legitimate government in Venezuela. The International Monetary Fund continues to acknowledge on its website that the representative of Venezuela in the IMF is Simon Alejandro Zerpa Delgado, the Minister of Finance in Nicolas Maduro's government. One of the reasons this is so is that Juan Guaido could not prove that he had the support of the majority of the member states of the International Monetary Fund, IMF. And yet the IMF, again extraordinarily, has denied the Maduro government its legitimate right to its own funds and to borrow against facilities provided by the IMF to its member states. Normally, the IMF takes time when it receives a request for funding. The request has to be studied carefully by analysts who look at the situation in the country and see whether the request is legitimate. But in the case of Venezuela, the IMF responded almost immediately, and it was negative. A spokesman for the IMF, Rafael Anspach, would not answer specific questions about this denial in funding. In 2019, he had been similarly cautious about saying anything about the denial of access to the $400 million in SDRs, or IMF funding. The writers of the article say, this time, Rafael Anspach sent us a formal statement that the IMF has released to the media. The statement claimed that whilst the International Monetary Fund sympathizes with the predicament of the people of Venezuela, it is not in a position to consider this request for funding. But why is this? Because the IMF says its engagement with member countries is predicated on official government recognition by the international community. The statement says there is no clarity on recognition of the Venezuelan government at this time. But there is clarity. The IMF continues to list the Venezuelan foreign minister on its website. The United Nations continues to recognize the Venezuelan government of President Nicolas Maduro. That should be official standard for the IMF to make its determination. But apparently it is not. It is being dictated to by the US government. In April of 2019, US Vice President Mike Pence went to the United Nations Security Council, where he said the United Nations should accept Juan Guaido as a legitimate president of Venezuela. He turned to the Venezuelan ambassador to the United Nations, Samuel Moncada Acosta, and said, "You shouldn't be here." This was a moment of great symbolism, the United States acting as if the United Nations is its home and that it can invite whomsoever it wishes. The International Monetary Fund's denial of $5 billion funding request from Venezuela follows Mike Pence's sentiment. It is a violation of the spirit of international cooperation that is at the heart of the United Nations Charter.